Green Divas and Green Dudes come in many shades of green. Here to help you discover and celebrate your personal shade of green are hosts Green Diva Meg and Maxine Margot, veteran radio chicks who share important news about climate change and the plight of human existence, but somehow manage to make most of it fun and sexy using at least 50 shades of green. Hey there, welcome to 50 Shades of Green Divas. You're on with Green Diva Meg?
Green Diva Max.
Here in Green Diva Studio.
Woohoo! And we're green. Green I am. I see your t-shirt, which is really awesome.
Isn't that fun? I did give you one, right?
No.
Oh, heck. Well, we'll give you one today, for sure.
Yeah,
We'll put it on and let's get a picture of ourselves together.
We have to do a selfie.
A selfie.
You just stay away from, like... cliffs, you know. I've heard about that, you know, people going off cliffs doing a selfie and not coming back,
or chasing the little
or something,
whatever that game is,
Pokemon
thing.
You got to get the Poke creatures. I don't even know
the concept of getting kids outside is nice,
right? But looking at their screen.
We had a yoga class out in the gazebo out here in town, and it was like creepy because the first night we didn't know what was happening. There's this guy circling the gazebo. And we're like, who's this creep? What's he doing? He's got his phone in his hand. He's taking pictures. Then we realized, so we had to put a sign out. Please, no Pokemon while, you know, we're doing yoga.
That's pretty funny, actually.
Right?
I mean, because everything is on your screen.
I know.
Which gave me an idea for a song recently called You Can View It on Your Screen. Because there was a... the corpse flower was blooming in the Bronx Botanical Gardens.
Yes, I remember.
And it was a live stream. It was pixelating on a screen, and you could watch it.
Yeah.
And I just, at that point, said, you can view it on a screen, but what does that all mean?
Yeah.
I mean, you're not there in person, but... And then even when you are there in person, you're looking at your screen.
Yeah, I know. It's weird.
And it was like... Okay.
It's like when you have two teenagers hanging out together and they're texting each other, sitting next to each other on a couch. Come on.
Oh, I've seen it in offices, actually.
Yeah.
There's six of them around a table.
Yeah. It's all quiet, yeah.
They're next to each other. They're on their laptop.
Yeah.
And they're actually conversing with each other on the laptop.
Like,
and
wait.
They're sitting next to each other. And it blew my mind. Seriously.
Come on, people.
I guess, are you having a deep political discussion that you can't talk about in the office because it's not politically correct?
Well, maybe.
Is there anything not politically correct?
That's right. So, you know, we got a little bit of a theme here. It's interesting. The woman we interviewed for this show, we started out talking about her business, which is really cool.
Right, the Art Cube.
But we just, you know, totally got into the whole political thing and some crazy things.
We started to do some crazy things, but with Eva, we can take a liberty to do that because she's just an amazing person and has some definite ideas about things.
Well, and I think we wanted to keep the discussion going about, I mean, this is a really critical time.
Correct.
In our history and this political season, as it were, the nightmare that is.
Yeah. The nightmare that is probably a good article to put out in the Sunday paper.
Right.
It's just mind-boggling what's going on, and you know, we were trying to figure out how we have a discourse civilly with such divisiveness. How do you speak to one another, and especially with kids? And I mean, how I can't even imagine a 10-year-old looking at any of this on a news show. I wouldn't let my kid, if I had a 10-year-old, look at that. But where they might be getting stuff in school that
we talk
don't know
about. Wait a minute. You know, we're trying to, this whole anti-bullying thing.
Right.
There's a huge push for anti-bullying in our schools and how we're teaching our children. And yet, one of our candidates is a huge bully. Now,
I don't see anything at a Hillary rally that comes near disruptive vitriol at the other guy's rally.
Yeah.
I have never seen the likes of it, and I don't even know how to respond anymore.
Well,
The bottom line is, and one of the reasons we want to talk about it, other than the insanity, right? And we're not jumping in on all that. But if you care about the environment, if you care about climate change, if you care about water, if you care about food, if you care about your health, then you need to pay attention. You need to tune in. And if you're listening to us, you probably do care about these things.
Right. You have to tell the you are listening, and we appreciate it. So getting past the choir is what we are on a mission. It's like the Blues Brothers were on a mission from God. We're on a mission from God. Jake and Elwood. I would like to get Jake and Elwood ramped up and turn them green. Although if I tell them I'm turning them green, they'll think of something else that's green. But and that's another issue being voted on in California this year is the marijuana legalization question.
Well, so if you look and Max did a really nice comparison, or she found an article that we looked at before this, of statements and platform planks from each of the main candidates, being Hillary and the other guy.
Mm-hmm.
Who will?
I don't even want to use the name.
He who shall not be named.
He shall not be named. We shall not name him.
Their platforms are wildly. The other guy is all about, like, climate change doesn't exist. It's a hoax, blah, blah,
China,
blah.
China. It's a hoax.
2 pages of statements recently and over the years. And hers are all about she totally acknowledges that there is science behind climate change. This is real. We have to act. We have to follow up on the Paris COP21. We have to take action. And she actually has real plans.
Really? Real plans? Actual?
Really real.
You mean
real.
Something called policy?
Really real.
Policy?
So.
What is that, pray tell?
So anyway, I hope you'll listen to our interview. We talked to Eva Radke that Max hooked us up. She's got a business called Art Cube, which is all about greening and creating a more sustainable
film and theater.
Thank you.
And
entertainment industry
art,
is the word I was looking for.
Art and getting people to, you know, help each other in terms of not throwing out sets and just being.
How can they reuse this stuff and reduce their waste and all kinds of different things? She's had an uphill climb, but she's a very cool lady, and we did get into some political stuff. So,
right.
And before you do that, I just want to mention that you can find out more about us for now on thegreendivas.com. I have a page for 50 Shades of Green Divas.
Okay.
And you can certainly hear this and other of our 50 Shades of Green Divas shows on all the channels that carry the Green Divas radio show, as well as
the Many Shades of Green.
And social media-wise, I'm hoping to hook up with you and grow our interactions more on Twitter, of course. We've got at The Green Divas.
And at TM Shades of Green.
And Instagram at The Green Divas.
At TM Shades of Green. It's the same.
Same. And, you know, Facebook, The Green Divas Radio Show. And you got at Green Diva Meg. Oh, my gosh. There's so much.
So many. And The Many Shades of Green on Facebook and themanyshadesofgreen.com.
And, pretty soon we'll have our own, but for now, you know.
We're gonna couple up. We're gonna get it out to be one force, and it'll be a green revolution, or something like that.
Something like that. Right. So look, stay tuned. Strap in, strap on, whatever.
Strap out,
strap
whatever.
Out. Listen to this wonderful interview with Eva Radke.
Hey, we're here in our beautiful studios and Green Diva Studios, and our guest today is Eva Radke. One of the quotes I caught off the web is "Emotion is power," that she has said, and Eva has set out to make the film industry more sustainable. She has a background in oil country in Texas, left there at 22 to come to New York City. And worked as a set designer and then saw things happening in that world that didn't meet her eye or standard. So she started something called Film Biz Recycling, was a drop-off point for props, wardrobes, and furniture, and had a huge diversion rate of landfill, 97%. So she tried to, you know, get the cooperation of the film industry, and they basically quoted, I can quote, saying, "Who cares if you throw a mid-century credenza into a dump?" And so with that, the film biz recycling itself kind of, you know, dissipated a bit, but now you're with Art Cube. So can you talk about the transition and about Art Cube, what it's doing, and how it's kind of continuing that mission?
Oh, absolutely, and thank you so much. You know, believe it or not, Art Cube came before Film Biz Recycling.
Okay.
In January of 2007, I realized that everyone in the film industry, we did the exact same thing. We had the same stresses. We used the same materials. And if we could just talk to one another. So I started just a simple little Google group, and I called it Art Cube, which refers to the truck where you can go get the props. It's like a cube truck.
Mm-hmm.
And it was me and 30 of my friends. About a year later is when I opened up Film Biz as a nonprofit because all this stuff needed a place to go. And we had a great run for the 7 years that we were open. We had a place in Gowanus, and we changed the culture. And I feel really proud, even though Hollywood didn't quite catch up with the checkbook. They weren't picking up what we were laying down.
Mm-hmm.
The people who work in the industry certainly did. And I can tell you, I've heard over and over and over again that Film Biz Recycling changed the culture of the film industry, raised awareness. And if that's not the ultimate goal of any nonprofit, I don't know what is.
Yeah.
So I'm very proud of that. And so meanwhile, in that 7-year run way we were running, Art Cube grew and grew. It was sort of my side hustle. And then someone said, hey, open L.A. So we opened L.A. Today, let me go back just a little bit. So when we opened up all these different cities, and when Film Biz came to an end, I was like, oh, my heavens. Well, I need to get a job or shut down Art Cube because it became a full-time job for me, and it was absolutely free. So we turned it into basically democracy. People could vote with their dollars. If you want us to keep going, you have to subscribe here. It's $5 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And people did left. I was very nervous, but people did left, right, and center.
Uh-huh.
So now the New York the community supports me doing these things for the community by being memberships. It's been really wonderful and hard. We grow every single day. We just opened up South America, Paris, and Tucson.
Wow.
So we're now up to 38 cities in 11 countries. Where we're facilitating communication between artists, events, film, television, theater. It's really, really, you know, window dressers. It's really grown to be the sort of freelance panic industry that is putting something together and making it pretty for some sort of event or show.
Nice.
That's pretty good. And I know during this time also, because we had it was Emily from Earth Angel on.
Mm-hmm.
I talked to her too.
Yeah, she's quite a gal, and I know she's working to green up sets, and I know you know her
very well.
Yeah, and I would assume that she's somehow involved in some way or a member of Art Cube, I would imagine.
We worked together yesterday. You know, she puts her stuff. She posts everything on Art Cube that's left over, so she doesn't end up throwing it away, and other productions save money by coming and grabbing it from her, so everybody wins. So we work very closely together.
That's so cool. I know she does movies mostly in New York, so it's pretty cool that this is happening, and people need to know that this is happening, which is why we like to get people like you who make a difference, who just don't talk, they walk it, and no one sees this. It's just invisible, you know, a lot of times. Yeah, it's out there, but is it out there? But, you know, unless you're a message person who is got the ultimate, you know, grabbing facility, a.k.a. the current, you know, orange is the new white guy. Seriously,
that was funny, man.
But it's true. It's all true. And you know, it's important that, you know, people know that the film industry and that you're doing these things. But there's a lot of crazy things going on. And I know you, long enough to kind of know that, there's things in our brains that we're kind of worrying about these days, and rightly so. And why is it that this is happening right now, this division, this divisiveness, this kind of racist overtone within this political, you know, cycle? And how, you know, can we do something to figure out why it's happening? And maybe you give an example of what might be causing this, or what kind of mindset within this is occurring. And we talked a little bit about this thing called coal rolling. Can you explain what that is?
Oh, yeah, we had a little chat beforehand. I'm like, we got to talk about this.
Can you explain coal rolling so people know what it is? Or Prius repellent?
Talking to me. Yeah, so coal rolling, as I understand it, is when diesel engines are altered, so they burn more coal, like they just put out as much black smoke as possible. It's just a combustion process that they ramp up. So thick, black, poisonous smoke comes barreling out of their trucks or their diesel engines.
Yeah, it's actually like intentional polluting, you know.
It's intentional polluting.
It really is like, you know, and I've seen it, and my experience with it is that if they see a Prius or somebody who's driving a little, you know, cute little plug-in hybrid, they're like, F you, and they hit the button, and they blow smoke. I've actually seen them where they had a bumper sticker in the back that said, F you, Prius. I don't know.
And also bicycle riders.
Oh,
they'll blow by
nice.
People riding their bicycles on the highway and blow black smoke in their faces.
It's a really weird concept.
Why would you trick out your truck engine to add black smoke and diesel particles into the atmosphere?
Right.
Basically saying, screw, you know, this is the screw you attitude, and F the eco people and the liberal people who have a brain that we don't want to, you know, we're trying to clean the planet, not put this stuff in the planet.
It's really hostile.
And how is this kind of the mindset
is hostile,
now?
But it comes back to this divisiveness that's been, you know, I think, since the Reagan era, been drilled into us. We've been divided going back to the early 80s. And so, you know, liberals are often painted as holier-than-thou, educated snobs.
Mm-hmm.
And in some cases, that's true, but it also goes to Republicans, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
But I think that's part, like, the arugula eating Prius driving cappuccino sipping, you know, dinks.
Earthy,
and
crunchy.
When that is not your reality, when you're maybe just beginning by, or you have, you know, live in rural areas and you've been raised to hate liberals, this is just one more thing that you can do, because it's America. You're free to pollute if you damn well want to.
No, it's America.
America.
Right.
Yeah, well, that's – I just can't seem to wrap my head around – you know, I saw that once on 95 heading towards the Washington area, and I saw this truck on the highway just – the gas was, and he was going up and down like it was like a La Cucaracha. I mean, the car was going up and down, this truck, and it was spewing this black stuff. I'm in my Honda, and I'm like, I don't know what it was or why. Was he having a problem with his engine? And then I realized he wasn't having a problem with his engine. He was probably having a problem with me and my Honda. I mean, you know.
Yeah, you're an environmental bully. That's what it is.
Oh, there you go.
Bullying.
Yeah. And my question is, like, just WTF. Like, I don't even know. There's a guy down here, lives in the town next to us, and I see his truck parked, and I see those big pipes coming out, those extra pipes, you know, right behind the cab. And I kind of want to go, like, stuff potatoes in them. But, you know, I know that's not right, so I don't.
Well, it's...
No, because that will all. I mean, that is a fantasy that sure is fun in your mind, but the reality is that just makes that person angrier. What that person needs is a reason not to.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, which is maybe a little bit of education and some understanding, and to look at their grandchildren in the eyes and say, "I'm doing this on purpose."
Yeah,
and, yeah. It doesn't.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So to really have to say this is actually affects you and everybody, you wouldn't, if you were on in eighth grade and you were doing this, you'd be in trouble.
Yeah, right. Why aren't they getting arrested or fined? Or, I mean, I know, I think in Colorado they were trying to, or somewhere they were trying to put some law into effect that would, you know, highly penalize these people for doing this, but I don't know if it has passed.
There should be a law that just simply you cannot have this apparatus on your car. That's it. Just, the, you know, you're not going to pass inspection.
Like mufflers, need to be, and, you know, gas emissions, that sort of thing, too. You know, I mean, that has to be brought to Congress. That has to be put, a bill has to be passed. And, you know, it's this big rigmarole. I mean, you know, I don't think there's, I don't know. I think we have bigger fish to fry right now.
Yeah, my guess is that would be a state by state thing.
I would sign the petition, but I think they're just not enough of them, but they're just obnoxious enough for us to be talking about them right now.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. But it's
indicative of, like, I want to call out Donald Trump kind of mentality. This bully mentality that is really driven by fear and actually promotes further fear. And really just feeds on this whole fear-mongering thing.
Right. Well, that seems to be the way things are here. And the media is as culpable as anything in giving this guy billions of dollars worth of media time, and they really want this elected. It's mind-boggling when you're dealing with a climate denier. He says climate change is a hoax. I'll just pick out something quickly. It's like during
created by China, which is bananas. But okay,
by what? I'm sorry.
Created by China.
Right. It's a hoax created by China. Exactly.
He doesn't even do the usual Al Gore.
No.
Al Gore thing. He goes there.
Well, he said in a rally last October, he said of global warming at one of his rallies, and he goes, it's really cold outside. They're calling it a major freeze, weeks ahead of normal. Man, we could use a big fat dose of global warming. This was a tweet.
He doesn't understand the difference between weather and climate. I mean, he is an ignorant man.
Right.
He's just ignorant. He doesn't know. But if they're short-term and long-term.
And it kind of feels like that's the same mentality of the people that are going to drive around with a truck and spew black smoke at anybody who might be trying to make a change because, well, there's an entrenchment of please don't change what I know. I can't deal with change. I don't know.
That has a lot to do with it, and this uncertainty.
Yeah.
I mean, uncertainty is terrifying.
Yeah.
When you are undereducated, when you are underemployed, and when you are underpaid, every day is uncertain, and you have reason to be fearful. And then when you flip on Fox News, and they back up everything you were thinking, you have created yourself, you built a wall, but it's the truth is not allowed in.
Right. I mean, people are just walking around like their brains are frying. I mean, I know my brains are frying. I don't even know how to – I don't even want to watch anything anymore.
No,
doesn't benefit the Republican Party to have an educated base because then no one would vote for them anymore.
Right. But I guess that's why we're doing what we're doing, why you're doing what you're doing, because we're shining light – on to some of these dark spots and hopefully in some way that isn't, you know, hostile. I don't know. We're not hostile. We're pretty friendly, man. Trying to get the word out that it doesn't need to be this mess. It doesn't need to be.
Well, I don't know how to even talk to someone who tells me they're voting for this person. I don't know what to say anymore. I don't know how to engage. I more disengage. And they're promoting disengagement because now we're not talking. And that's bad, you know. And how does one tell these people that, yes, climate and weather, they're two different things, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But us humans, you know, are creating a lot of this by virtue of greenhouse gas emissions, about what, you know, what were our actions that are not good, our plug-in mentality. We have to be plugged in all the time. And it's just, you get to the point, like, how do you get this across to those who feel the way you just described, that they're not as educated and they're fearful and they're underemployed and underserved? It's tough.
Well, I think also that there are talking points for, you know, a couple of organizations have put out really simple ways that we can talk to people who might be oppositional about this. But the truth is, have you ever tried that? I mean, they just, like, they look at you and go, no,
Yeah.
I don't know. You know, this.
Have you tried it, Eva? Have you tried
it? I have. And, I have with family members.
And
it is really difficult. And sometimes I was never listened to ever again. I have lost family members who never talked to me again.
Wow.
Or we just touch on it, agree to disagree, and move on. I nonetheless think it's important to say that this is what I believe, and I can back it up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and you come from an oil family, right?
I do. Yeah. I do. At a Houston, and it was generations of.
Yeah.
In fact, he was sued for. My grandfather was sued in 1968 for dumping pollutants into the ocean.
Wow.
And also for loss of life on a rig.
Wow.
And the family of the person who died on his rig was Hispanic.
Wow.
And that gave him every reason in the world to have thought everything racist as well. So it all fits right in. Mm-hmm. You can justify your lifestyle as long as there's an other who justifies it.
Right.
Well, now we've gone afield from our original.
Sorry.
No. We did that to you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
We did that to you. But I want to bring it back because we have to wrap it up to just talk about, like, you know, your mission is to help reduce waste and promote sustainability in the film and event industry. And you're making, you're having an impact, regardless of the political climate, which we all love to kind of. Cold rollers, WTF.
Yeah.
But I just want to say that people ought to check this out. Whether you're in the industry or you know someone in the industry, please recommend and check out. I do videos, I do events or whatever from time to time, and I didn't know about Art Cube, so I'm kind of psyched.
All right, so you can.
You will know about Art Cube because we're actually developing our own software right now. So we're on the down low as far as marketing goes.
Right.
But next year we are going to release something really, really magical that's going to take all the good work that we're doing and multiply it by 10. So
yay.
I hope I can have you back on the show once that happens.
Oh, good. That would be great.
Absolutely.
We would love to know what's happening.
Tech will save us, ladies. Tech.
Talk to my boy. He's a tech guy.
Yeah.
I'll put you in touch. Yeah. But so where can people get information about Art Cube?
Sure. Please go to artcube.nyc. That's artcube.nyc.
Okay.
We're very accessible. You can also send me an email and talk about it or schedule a phone call with me. You know, we really cater to artists and designers. In a freelance industry that can connect with one another, find jobs, find new clients, get stuff for free, sell their stuff when they're done, and leave their jobs with a clean conscience, not a full dumpster.
Great.
Nice.
That's fantastic.
That's a great, I like that, leave your job. What was that last line? It's like a great tagline.
With a clean conscience, not a full dumpster.
Yes.
Yeah, with a clean conscience, not a full dumpster. That's wonderful. Well, we thank you so much for coming on and chatting with us about various things. And again, we'll link everything up, and we'll talk to you again about this new magical thing coming up. And we are going to be doing a lot of spiritual zen up to the universe to see where this election rolls out. I'm hoping it's coming out the way I want to, but we shall see.
It will. There's no way it won't.
It's got to be. We're all going to be, you know, hopefully knowing who's going to run this country.
Otherwise, it's mutiny, man.
Otherwise, it's Vancouver, Canada, eh? All right. All right. So we'll talk soon, and thank you again for being on.
Bye-bye, Eva.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You've been listening to the 50 Shades of Green, a collaborative gig between the Green Divas and the Many Shades of Green radio shows, happily recorded at Green Diva Studio. Be sure to look for this and other Green Diva Network podcasts and the Many Shades of Green on iHeartRadio, iTunes, SoundCloud, Spreaker, and Stitcher, among other places. You can find more information about this show and much more on The Green Divas.